I will now call the Thursday, June 6th, 2024 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Ford?
Present, sorry.
I wasn't expecting me to go first.
We rotate. It's your turn.
Commissioner Wilson?
Present.
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Williams?
Here.
Commissioner Basinger?
Here.
I'm here. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
We have nine. We have a quorum.
Wow.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda tonight, Mr. Zinner?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Approval was moved by Commissioner Lowe, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Could I get a thumbs up approval on the agenda? Thank you all very much. We should have all received a copy of the May 23rd, 2024 regular session minutes. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes?
Will you approve the minutes?
Second.
Approval was moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Thumbs up approval on the minutes. Unanimous with our two newcomers abstaining. Sorry, I guess I should actually say Basinger and Williams abstaining. Very good. First up on our agenda for the evening are tabling requests. Mr. Zinner, may we have a staff report?
You can. So the first two items are related to each other. We have two separate slides for them, but they're in essence basically the same graphic. I'm just going to cover these together. The property is addressed at 1003 East Brown School Road. Property acreage is 17.52 acres. And the first item, 158-2024, was an advertised public hearing for this evening. It is a permanent zoning request for this parcel. The applicant is seeking a delay in the project in order to work through some additional issues associated with the rezoning of the property or the zoning of the property. The actual description of this particular project as on the agenda today is actually it errantly identified MN as the requested zone. It actually is a request for MC zoning as depicted here on the slide. And then the second case is the same address, same acreage. It is a one lot preliminary plat that will be known as the Central Humane Society plat. And this is, since it is connected with the permanent zoning request, the applicant has requested that both items be tabled to the June 20th meeting. The second item is case 159-2024. It was not an advertised public hearing, and therefore it is being this tabling is being provided to you as information. It does not technically require a vote of the Planning Commission. However, if you would like to make a motion to table both case 158-2024 and 159-2024, you are welcome to do so. If you have any questions, I or Mr. Kuntz will be here to answer them for you.
Very good, thank you. As this is a tabling motion, we will not be discussing the merits of the case this evening, merely whether or not to delay it for 2 weeks. Before we go to questions for staff, if any commissioners have had any contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there any questions to staff about the motion to table? I have one. Is one motion acceptable or do we want separate for each case number?
Chair Jones, I think it would be cleaner to do two. It would be
good.
Cleaner record, please. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public hearing. Again, this is not about the merits of the case, merely motion to table. Seeing no one from the public here to discuss, close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Are there any comments or motions? Commissioner Stanton?
I'd like to entertain a motion, Madam Chair. As it relates to case 158-2024, I move the table until June 20th commission meeting.
Would you like to include case 159-2024 as well?
I thought he wanted to do it
you
separate.
You wanted to do separate.
Oh, I thought we were doing together.
Separate.
Oh, separate, sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. There is a motion that has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, roll call, please.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Basinger?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 9 to approve. The motion is carried.
Any other motions on this section? Commissioner Stanton?
I would like to entertain a motion, Madam.
Please.
As it relates to case 159-2024, I move to table this case until June 20th, the commission meeting.
Second.
Motion to table was made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yeah, I'm going first.
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Basinger?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 9 to approve. The motion is carried.
Thank you. Those recommendations, or those cases, will be tabled until our next June meeting. For public hearings, case number 130-2024, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Springbrook Crossings, LLC, for approval of a design adjustment seeking relief from the provisions of Appendix A, Section A.5, curves of the UDC. If approved, the design adjustment would allow the internal street network to have tighter curves than outlined in the design standards for a road classified as a neighborhood collector. The subject street is named Ledger Drive, as shown on the preliminary plat of Springbrook Crossing North, case number 59-2024, that was reviewed and recommended for approval at the Planning Commission's May 9th, 2024 meeting. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. So as you mentioned, this is case 130-2024 and is a design adjustment for Springbrook Crossing North, and this design adjustment would provide relief from Appendix A, Section 8.5 curves within the UDC. This site is northwest of the corner, or the roundabout, of State Farm Parkway and Veterans United, and is the internal street network illustrated on the preliminary plat for Springbrook Crossing North, and I'll show that on subsequent slides. The design adjustment will provide relief for around 500 feet of roadway where the curves are proposed. And property owner letters were sent to property owners and neighborhood associations on May 22, 2024, and an advertisement for this design adjustment was placed in the Columbia Tribune on the 21st of May in 2024. So some background information on exactly why relief from curves is being requested. CATSO designated this area, or this road, as a major roadway, or as a neighborhood collector on the major roadway plan. Because of this, the street must be constructed to such standards, and the plat should reflect what's being constructed. When site development plans for the preliminary plat came in for what would be Lot 10 of the preliminary plat, it was identified that the turning radius was too tight for a neighborhood collector standard, but turning radii are not elements that are identified on preliminary plats, so it wasn't identified as an issue prior to sending public information postcards with the proposed commission hearing date of May 9 for the preliminary plat, and therefore this is being processed separately from its associated preliminary plat, but will be introduced concurrently at City Council. Overall, the relief sought will show exactly what the standards for curves are in following slides as well. Just some aerial imagery to refresh exactly where this site is. As we can see, to the west, we have the South Providence Medical Center. To the south, we have the Veterans United campus. Hyde Park Avenue is to the north, and there's some agriculturally zoned land to the east. A little bit more background information about what the curve standards are and how they relate to this case. So collector streets have a minimum radius at curves of 458 feet. Local non-residential streets have a minimum radius of 229.2 feet. Longer radius means a wider curve. A smaller radius means a tighter curve. In Appendix A, this is described not by radius length, rather, but degree of curvature of a horizontal curve. when the street pavement lines or street right-of-way lines deflect. And so for neighborhood collectors, the curvature may be, at the most, 12 degrees in 30 minutes, whereas local non-residential curves can be 25 degrees in 0 minutes. And the larger maximum degree of curvature enables designs with tighter turns. So this slide should be somewhat illustrative of the differences in how the curve radius will actually make the road look. So the green one, which is a tighter curve and gets north-south faster after being east-west originally, is a 230 centerline radius, whereas the, I guess, magenta, not sure what color that would be, curve is around 460 feet from its centerline radius. Essentially, the local non-residential allows you to curve around and get north-south faster, and that'll make more sense when we look at the preliminary plat here. Another point to note is that this Ledger Drive falls more in line with the described intent within the UDC of local non-residential streets than it does neighborhood collectors. Neighborhood collectors are intended to capture between 1,500 and 3,500 average daily traffic. I'm going to abbreviate that with ADT moving forward. It also notes these streets are intended to serve surrounding residential areas and connect to major streets and serve local non-residential land uses such as schools, churches, parks, and promote neighborhood livability. While it did list some non-residential uses, these are permissible by right uses in residential zoning districts. So it's largely just intended to be in residential districts. And local non-residential streets are intended to carry volumes up to 4,000 ADT, which is 500 higher than the previously mentioned neighborhood collectors, but that does depend on what option of design is selected. The intent of the street is to provide, or for, yeah, local non-residentials, is to provide access to commercial, industrial, institutional, and other intensive land uses. So provided the site is currently zoned MOF in its entirety, it seems like, and that permits some residential uses, but it's not exclusive to those, and it permits a wider range of non-residential uses than what a residential zoning district would, naturally. So the MOF district permits uses that would be more aligned with the local non-residential street's intended purpose, which are to provide access to commercial, industrial, institutional, and other intensive land uses than to collect traffic from surrounding residential areas. Additionally, the site to the west is not intended to be residential, as it is to be the location of the University of Missouri's Thompson Center, which is north of the South Providence Medical Center. However, since this street, again, was designated as a neighborhood collector, design adjustments are required if relief is requested. And on the site, ADT provided by the applicant in the design adjustment worksheet, it's estimated that there's going to be somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 ADT on the site once it's built out. And then, per 29.52B9 of the UDC, the following criteria are required to be evaluated for appropriateness of design adjustments. The items are, firstly, the design adjustment is consistent with the city's adopted comprehensive plan and with any policy guidance issued to the department by council. Secondly, the design adjustment will not create significant adverse impacts on any land abutting the proposed plat or to the owners or occupants of those lands. Third, the design adjustment will not make it significantly more difficult or dangerous for automobiles, bicycles, or pedestrians to circulate in and through the development than if the subdivision standards of Section 29.5.1 were met. Four, the design adjustments being requested to address a unique feature of the site or to achieve a unique design characteristic and will not have the effect of decreasing or eliminating installation of improvements or site features required of other similarly situated developments. And lastly, design adjustment will not create any adverse impacts on public health or safety. So the following slides will address these criteria as they relate to Ledger Drive. So first, consistency with a comprehensive plan and policy guidance. So the comprehensive plan identifies connectivity for all modes of transportation, not just vehicles, as a prominent goal. The design adjustment allows the connection on the CATSO major roadway plan to be facilitated as much as it can within the site itself. And I'm saying this because the street is tied to the street easement dedicated to the west. And then CATSO illustrates the connection being farther north than is designed here. But it will move traffic in a similar manner as what was designed or illustrated by CATSO. Overall, staff supports the notion that the design adjustment is consistent with the comprehensive plan and policy guidance. Secondly, this will not create significant impacts on abutting land or owners of land. There's no difference in the road's capacity to carry traffic depending on its curvature. You know, in fact, as stated before, local non-residential roads are described as being able to carry higher volumes of ADT than neighborhood collectors, yet it simultaneously permits tighter turns. With the amount of traffic expected on the site when it's built out being between 2,000 and 3,000, as aforementioned, it's within the volume limits. Additionally, the dedicated street easement to the west was dedicated to local non-residential standards, so this design would actually be more consistent with that easement if the curvature relief was provided. Next, both of the questions involving safety were consolidated into this slide. Firstly, users of the roads, all forms of users, will not have unsafe experience because of this design adjustment. Second, that this design adjustment does not broadly create or create any adverse impacts on public health or safety. And in both cases, a tighter curve would actually make the street safer, as the tighter curve can discourage the road user from driving too fast while approaching the curve or while turning. It's not chicanes necessarily, or like a, I guess, a proper traffic calming measure, but with the curves being before the stop conditions on this site, which is important, encourages traffic to slow down prior to coming to a stop at the intersection, and it eliminates, you know, straighter lines for people to drive in and accelerate and go faster. Tighter curves in this situation also allow a proper tangent segment length between the curves that would be difficult to achieve with the proposed conditions if they were not able to get relief from the curve standards. Lastly, design adjustment addresses unique factors on the site in a variety of ways. Notably, the tighter curves allow it to connect with the street easement to the property to the west with more flexibility. It makes feasible the connection between State Farm Parkway and the dedicated street easement if a street ends up being constructed in said easement. Another unique factor was the stopping site distance, which you need around 200 feet. I believe at a 30-mile-per-hour road, you would need 200 feet from the end of your curve to where you stop. And if this had neighborhood collector standards, that would be more difficult to achieve that stopping site distance that's required. So overall, this design adjustment does not create any adverse impacts on the site or to neighboring properties or to the public at large. Movement on the site may be made safer than if it were designed to neighborhood collector standards, as the tighter turn leads to a reduction in speed of road users. Road users will be encouraged to slow down prior to stopping due to the placements of the curves in the roads, and design adjustment related to curves has no bearing on the volume of traffic the street may accommodate. As I mentioned earlier in the report, local non-residential streets are intended to carry higher volumes of traffic in some circumstances than neighborhood collectors. And lastly, the intent of the street is, at least how things are today, more aligned with the description of local non-residential streets than it is to neighborhood collector. So ultimately, staff recommends approval of the design adjustment granting relief from Appendix A, Section 8.5 curves of the UDC. And I'll be happy to answer any questions y'all have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Commissioner Williams.
My questions actually relate more broadly to the development, which I understand was to the plot, which was discussed at a prior meeting, but for context, I just like to understand. this road connects up to State Farm Parkway, and on the other side, I don't know if you could go to the slide with the larger panoramic view of the site. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So my concern is I'm wondering about what is thought went into. When Veterans United does their holiday lights and there is a substantial amount of traffic that comes down that road and is basically turned into a parking lot, and where that, I think it's at Crosby is the road that is going to be, it's going to come out the opposite of Veterans United. What discussion, if any, may have been had or about how this neighborhood is going to be impacted in the context of that, or how that neighborhood being there is going to impact the traffic flow, and how that's set up for entrance into to Veterans United during that season.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm answering your question correctly, but you tell me if I'm not. There was a development agreement that is associated with the preliminary plat, which features some road improvements, one of which notably would be a second lane added to a roundabout that would align with what will be or has been identified as Crackley Drive on the preliminary plat. It's the middle drive for Veterans United is where the roundabout would be, and there would be a second lane added to that. That was identified by the traffic impact studies that were provided to us by the applicant. That was a requisite improvement. There was also it's two points of ingress and egress splitting between lots 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 on Veterans United and State Farm Parkway, respectively. So I believe that they're addressing, or they have addressed, concerns about potential congestion through the development agreement.
And if I may add, Mr. Williams, the development that is mainly to the west of the VU campus, which is referred to as Springbrook, so the traffic improvements, there's two separate traffic studies here. There are two separate development plans that are being constructed by the same developer. The parcel that is to the west of the VU campus has obligations associated with South Providence Road as well as with Veterans United Drive. The roundabout is intended to be installed at the existing entry to the medical complex. And that roundabout has not yet been constructed. It is in design at this point, and that is, in essence, to the east of the double barrel access that is the current main entry into the campus. So then that is referred to in the traffic study for Springbrook as VU Middle Drive and the MU Hospital Campus Drive. So that is a that was evaluated, that traffic study and those requirements of the traffic analysis for Springbrook became a basis for our traffic engineer requiring a traffic study for the property that we are dealing with that is known as Springbrook Crossing North. And it has its own separate traffic study that had requirements associated with it, as Mr. Koontz has indicated. It had identified a additional westbound bypass lane around the future roundabout that will be constructed, which is required to be a single lane roundabout. It requires separation between Crackley Drive and the eastern entry to the parking lot of VU. So it'll have a restricted, there will be a restriction at that point to where the only turning movements allowed at Crackley and the eastern entry to VU will be right-hand movements. You will not be able to make a left-hand turn, and that is part of the development agreement specifically associated with Springbrook Crossing North. And then the other two three-quarter turn pocket improvements along, one along Veterans United to lots 1 and 2 and 3, and then another one that would be on State Farm Parkway to 4 and 5. There have been addendums provided by the applicant to the traffic studies as it relates to the development that is proposed on lot 10 of the preliminary plat right now that have provided sufficient justification to our city's traffic engineer that the roundabout that is part of the obligations of Springbrook does not need to be installed before lot 10 could be platted with the existing development. And then that also includes development impacts that are being created by the Thompson Autism Center, which is being built by the University of Missouri, which is an exempt entity from compliance with the city's requirements of development. So that traffic, while we are aware of it, and we are aware that there are a number of implications associated with the medical traffic as well as other traffic that flows in this corridor, all of those are taken into account as it relates to our traffic study standards. The particular activity that is annual at VU with their lights, you can't develop a street network plan to address something that's of that nature, but we have taken the steps necessary and as required and specified by the code to ensure that long-term regular daily traffic is being addressed. The occasional inconvenience of high volumes of traffic at seasonal times is just something that as a community we have to deal with, and VU and utilizes private services, if I'm not incorrect, for traffic coordination, as well as approaches the city as necessary to help mitigate that. The development to the north actually may provide some additional relief when fully constructed for staging, for circulation purposes, we just don't know. And then the roundabout that is yet to be installed may also assist in that as a way of being able to help distribute traffic more effectively than it is today. Hence the reason why we use a lot of roundabouts instead of traffic signals. It helps to keep traffic flowing. Not sure if that our combined answer gave you the answer you wanted, but that's the reality of what's going on down here.
I think it answered, at least in general, it answered my question. It sounds like it, to a certain degree, there'll be some adjustments with the roundabout at Crackley Drive, but it's still somewhat to be determined how that the Veterans United lights and will may be impacted, or this neighborhood may be impacted. You could say it both ways. when those two things converge for several weeks every year.
I would point out that what we are being asked tonight is the angle of the curves here. And I mean, I appreciate the discussion, and certainly traffic flow is going to be problematic, at least during that month, I think, that they run the lights. But the question isn't, is there going to be a road connecting State Farm Parkway to Veterans United through these two lots or however many lots? The question is, how steep will those curves be? And frankly, and we can get more into it when we get to the discussion part, but just reminding all of our commissioners, like, there's going to be a road here that the developers are going to build. The question is, what is it going to look like? Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to public comment. Please come forward. Name and address for the record, and you know all the things.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I believe Mr. Coons did a good job in his staff report for this project, and I appreciate him putting in included in that staff report the definitions of the various types of roads. Because when this project started, I believe that really, we believed that there were gonna be local non-residential, and I believe the staff did to some degree as well, believe that this area was gonna be filled with local non-residential streets and not necessarily neighborhood collectors. If you look again, he briefly mentioned it, but across the university property to our west, and you kind of see from this depiction here, it's the yellow lines that kind of traverse the area just north of the MOF designation. All of those roads are designed with the same neighborhood, or excuse me, with the same local non-residential standard. And so I believe that the idea there was is that's what these roads are gonna be constructed as. That was our belief, that was our thought. And again, it makes more sense that they get built that way with the tighter curve. Again, we're not going to decrease the amount of traffic. We're not going to decrease the volumes that those roads can handle. It does slow them down to the commercial areas and, excuse me, in this case, the office areas. And then also, it's not going to take away any of the other modes of transportation. We still have sidewalks on both sides, just like a neighborhood collector. The width of the road, depending upon, I mean, it used to be the fact that we had a neighborhood collector, or we had collectors, we had arterials, and we had residentials and local non-residential, and each one of them had one street width and one classification. Now we have a very wide range of different options for all these different street standards. So basically what we're talking about here is the road width is going to be basically the same, maybe actually a little wider than that of a neighborhood collector, depending upon what option you go with on the neighborhood collector standard. So really the road's going to be basically the same, just a little tighter curve. And so again, those curves are nowhere near the minimum that you would have for like a residential neighborhood. They're still wider, you know, much larger than that, more than twice that requirement. So it's not an unsafe situation by any means. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission may have, but do concur with Mr. Coons and staff report.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and go to commissioner comment. Is there any commissioner who wishes to comment on this case? Go ahead, Commissioner Williams.
I recognize that the plot, the overall development is already considered by my colleagues and before I was part of the commission, and so I say these comments with respect to them and the fact that I wasn't here to hear all the information that was presented. I do have concerns. I don't have concerns with the road. I understand the issue the current issue is with respect to the curvature, and I don't have any concerns with the curvature of the road. My concern is more broadly, when I think about Columbia as a whole, I look at where this space is. I'm not sure that this is the best use of space here. I don't have concerns with these kind of developments. I'm just not sure that this particular location for a development like this is the right place. Moreover, I do have some concerns about how it might impact both the holiday lights. It's an important part of these kind of events are an important part of community. And I think that having the neighborhood here could have an impact on that in terms of there's going to have to be an effort to try to make sure that people can get in and out of that neighborhood, that emergency personnel can get in and out of that neighborhood if necessary. And the way the traffic flows now, it's really just every bit of that road, it becomes a parking lot to push people towards the lights. And I have a little bit of concern if we shut down a lane on State Farm Parkway so people can get into the neighborhood, it's going to push more traffic back out onto Grindstone. Or what happens if people need to come in? They usually shut Veterans United Parkway down. Heading, so you can't head east on Veterans United Parkway. You can only exit that way. So if someone just come to the neighborhood east, well, that road's going to be blocked. So I do have some concerns about how the traffic is going to work for people who live there, or if there's emergency needs, or again, if space is made available to accommodate that, how that's going to affect the traffic flow into the surrounding streets, because Grindstone does get backed up, particularly on peak nights. As a result of the event as well. So those are my comments. I just say them for the record for future consideration, and thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton.
Motion, Madam Chair.
If you do it into the microphone.
I can interrupt, I think Commissioner Placer had a comment.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Placer, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
That necessary, but I was just going to point out that the lights are an issue for a small part of the year and also at night. And so I'm not sure that the traffic through this particular development is going to crash into that much, and with the curves, anything we can do to slow the traffic is good, so that people aren't going to try to use that as a shortcut of some kind or a pass through and speeding through there. I think the curves will actually have a good effect on that.
Thank you. Anyone else to make comments that I may have missed? Commissioner Wilson?
Don't do usually do this, it's against what I like to do, but I'm gonna go on record of making just a comment of my thoughts, and I tend to agree with Commissioner Thomas because I enjoy the lights, so I go, and it is horrible. And traffic does get backed up on Grindstone, and traffic is only allowed to go one way, and it is terrible. And even though it's one time of year, it's about like 10 days for one time of year. So if you're in that neighborhood, it's going to be problematic. So
anyone else? Commissioner Stanton, I think we're ready for you.
Madam Chair, can I entertain a motion at this time?
Yes.
As it relates to case 130-2024, Springbrook Crossing North Design Adjustment Curves, I move to approve the design adjustment, providing relief from Appendix A, Section A, 0.5, curves for maximum degree of centerline curvature.
Do we have
second?
Motion for approval was made by Commissioner Stanton and seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Basinger?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Gawe Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
We have 9 votes to approve. The motion is carried.
Thank you. That motion or that recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. We will now open the floor to general public comments. If anyone has a general comment from the public, seeing none, Mr. Zinner, staff comments.
Yes. I'd like to introduce and welcome our two newest commissioners, Carol Basinger and Thomas Williams, joining the dais, and would like to welcome back Chairman Gawe Jones for a second full term. Many of you are aware we have an impending vacation coming, and that vote is anticipated to occur on the 17th of June. So we will hopefully have a seated additional commissioner come our first meeting in July, which will be July 18th. We had notified that you all should have packed your bags and scheduled vacation for the 20th. If you have, I'm sorry. We're recalling you. Send those tickets back and unpack. We do have a meeting, thanks to Mr. Crockett's need to table some cases. it's a tough crowd that we run around here, but I know you can. So the only two cases that we have are the two that were tabled, and because they are a tabled forward case, should there be for some unforeseen reason another need to table, we do all need to assemble. Because they are tabled to date certain. So maybe schedule your plans for 7:30 on the 20th, and then you can leave. Because you do not have a meeting on July 4. That is the first Thursday in the month of July. That is a holiday, of course. We are closed. I may be out of town personally myself, so I won't be here. And whenever I'm gone, you should all be able to be gone. But I have well-equipped staff, and to my right, for those of our new commissioners that did not get to meet Mr. Kuntz, David Kuntz is one of my planners that is with our staff, the one lone one I have left, and hopefully in July you'll get to meet two more, as well as a senior planner that I'm short right now as well. And Rusty Palmer is my existing senior planner, and Rusty did not have any cases this evening. But these are your two cases that are for next June 20th meeting. Just so we're familiar with where they are from the locator maps this morning, same location, two different aspects. One is permanent zoning request, which is what is handled prior or concurrently with a council consideration of an annexation of property into the city of Columbia, meaning this current parcel is outside the city's corporate limits today and is proposed to be brought in to the city's corporate limits. That's the annexation and permanently zoned. The proposed MC at this point, and then the preliminary plat is the other item. As we discussed this evening during our work session, which we will be back in 1A, 1B for the 20th. Today we were asked to relocate due to fire chief meet and greet this evening, so thank you for working with us over in 1C. We will bring back some additional information. Tonight was a very interesting and vigorous conversation as it related to how do we not let parking drive the future development pattern of small lot subdivisions. We will come back with, I believe, God willing, I have the opportunity and I could focus my attention on item number 5 from the list of 7 of the use-specific standards, and we're going to continue to just methodically move through. Following our July meeting, we are likely going to have a presentation associated with the Sunshine Law, which is an annual training presentation by Earl Krause, one of our city councilors that sat in prior to Jesse being hired. He will provide that training. We will also, at a work session, most likely in July, I believe, we will end up having the consultant for the Central City Study directly communicating with the Planning Commission as to what is currently going on with the research and the commentary that's been provided up to this point. If that is a July 18th meeting, we would greatly appreciate all of the commissioners to be present. If you do know you will be gone, if you can, please let me know so I can let Mr. Teddy know as he coordinates with our consultant. That also would mean we would be suspending any discussion as it relates to the small lot integration project itself. I'm going to leave it at that for right now. We have a number of other projects that I will preview during a work session for you that we have on the docket. We have some significant material that we will need to be getting to later in this calendar year, some of which requires some additional consultant acquisition. I also will be able to provide probably an update as it relates to total applications received for the June 10th application deadline for short-term rental conditional use permits. What I can tell you is there are 3 right now that are pending for the July 18th meeting. So again, they will be the first 3, and that will be we'll be starting probably a regular diet of those every Planning Commission meeting, and as we know what our volumes are, we may have to have some discussions as it relates to either supplemental meetings so we can continue to move those through without slowing down the rest of our regular business agenda. Or if we want to just incorporate them in and then meter them accordingly so we're not adding additional meetings that may not necessarily be required. At this point, what I can tell you is given I don't have any significant, we have not received significant submissions for the July 18th meeting, we will be able to accommodate these 3 without really disrupting our regular flow of activity. With that, that's all we have to offer for this evening. Thank you very much for your time and for your attendance.
Thank you. Commissioner comments. I would like to start off by welcoming our 2 new commissioners. Thank you. I know we throw you into the deep end, so appreciate all of your input and thought and attention tonight. And I believe this may be Commissioner Ford's last meeting. If not, we may have you one more. We'll find out.
Okay. If we have one more, we'll have one more.
Regardless, if we don't get another chance, thank you very much for your service, and we will miss you.
I will miss you guys. Thank you.
Yes. Are there any other commissioner comments? Seeing.
I move to adjourn.
Adjournment was moved by Commissioner Stanton and seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Without objection, we stand adjourned.